The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, this is Stephen Hines, author of Zombie Fabulous, Rebirth Defect, and Valedictorian USA. And you, my friends, are listening to the PVD cast with John Orlando. Soak it up, suckers.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD cast. I am your host, the podcast purveyor, and Mr. PVD MVP himself, John Orlando, and welcome to episode 209. This episode is going to chronicle my trip to Wizard World Columbus just a few weeks ago. And before I kind of run down some of the highlights, I would just like to take a moment to express to you, the listeners, how much I love podcasting. I mean, obviously I have 209 episodes out, and if I didn't love it, I wouldn't keep putting out episodes, but I really do. And the thing is, when I go to a convention, whether it's Wizard World or whether it's Monroe Pop Fest or Space or CXC, I really, by the end of the day, get this kind of rush due to like the creativity, the camaraderie that I experience. And, you know, to say I had an amazing time at Wizard World Columbus would be redundant because I've been saying that for the last couple of weeks, but it's true. Now that I got that off my chest, so to speak, I would like to give a quick thank you to the Three Geeks podcast, Jason, Dan, Max, Scott, the new guys I met down there at Wizard World, Chris and Justin. But I want to thank Three Geeks for allowing me to tag team with them for some celebrity interviews. You know, in all complete transparency, Jason has the hookup to all the celebrity interviews. He's in with the guy that's in charge of that, Jerry. And so I just kind of tag along with him, but I do truly appreciate it. And you know what? Let's talk about the three celebrities you're going to hear interviews with on this episode of the PVD cast. First up, Lisa Marie Barron, formerly known as FKA, as they say in the wrestling biz, Victoria in the WWE, and Tara in TNA Wrestling. She's been a champion no matter where she's competed, and it was absolutely awesome to get an opportunity to talk to her. We also have Mr. Sam Levine on tap, most known for his roles on Freaks and Geeks and in the movie Inglourious Basterds. And he shares a new project that, to be honest with you, I think is going to hopefully shine a light on a major problem in the United States and actually throughout the world. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'll let Sam explain that project in his interview. And of course, I can't forget about the third and final celebrity interview, Miss Claudia Wells, who is just such a joy to chat with. She, of course, played Jennifer Parker in the Back to the Future movie franchise. And you're also going to hear some of the customers that stopped by the table to pick up Brian's book, either Inferno City Firehouse or Staunch Ambition. And actually, I also interview a couple of our table mates as well. So it's going to be a really great episode. You don't want to miss it. And before I throw it to a quick break, I got to let you know that this episode is brought to you by World's Greatest Comics. They're located at their new spot, 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. They got tons of comics, graphic novels, comic book supplies, posters, back issues, toys. Basically, they got you covered for all of your comic book needs. So stop on over to the store and say hello to Jeff, or you can check them out online at WG Comics. They're even on Facebook, folks. All you got to do is search for WG Comics on Facebook, and you'll get all the information that you need to check out the new store. And let me tell you right now, it is a beautiful store. Jeff is still putting the finishing touches to some of it, but it's bigger, it's better, it's badder. You definitely need to check out World's Greatest Comics over there at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. All right, with that out of the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear about my trip to Wizard World Columbus. All right, so Ryan, it's the start of Wizard World Columbus. So what are you looking forward to this year as we're here at the Columbus Convention Center?
Oh man, I'm just stoked to interact with people, fans, maybe, you know, people coming back for the book, you know, next issues.
And you got new stuff because you have these new giant posters that I know people can't see here because it's an audio podcast. But you also have new posters for Inferno City Firehouse, which I know you've been kind of putting that out on social media. But you got these big kind of, what are these on? Like
yeah, poster, but they poster? Had half off at the, what is
printer.
It, FedEx. And half off, yeah, they're like on poster board and laminated. So, you know, they turned out pretty good. There was a couple problems with a couple I had to get sent back. But it's nice. They're very good for display, at least.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They're larger, so you're going to get draw people in with them. So
yeah, so we are looking forward to today, and we're going to be here all weekend, and I want to try to obviously interview some folks that are going to stop by the table.
Sure.
My Staunch Ambition or Inferno City Firehouse, and of course, you know, there's celebrities here, so I'm hoping to land a few. I got the short list, so hopefully I'll land
a
few.
We have a lot of friends. We're going to be hanging with the Candair
podcast, Three Geeks. Yeah. It's gonna be
Henry Winkler, I think, is coming to dinner with us tonight.
It is. Wait, Henry Winkler's coming to dinner with us?
Yeah.
I wasn't told that.
Well, are you not? Maybe you weren't invited.
I didn't get that memo.
I'm sorry.
Was I not invited?
Oh.
Well, that's kind of that's awful.
Well,
I would love to have dinner with the Fonz.
Forget, I was just making that up, anyways.
Oh, you were just making it up. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyways, looking forward to a great Wizard World, as I've said already. So, you know what? We'll be checking back in and see how the day goes here.
Exactly.
All right.
That's a plan. Sounds like a plan.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, John along with Dan here from
Hello.
The Three Geeks podcast, sitting down with Lisa Marie Vaughn. How are you, Lisa?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you for having me.
Many people know you as Tara and, of course, Victoria, both in TNA and the WWE, respectively. So how's the experience been here at Wizard World?
Well, I just got here, so I was a little frazzled when I got here. So I was
supposed
to get here yesterday. But as soon as I landed, we came straight here. I usually wear wrestling gear.
Okay.
But didn't have time to change. So, but, you know, Friday's always a little bit, you know, people are still getting off work.
Sure.
So we're still waiting for that big, 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 huge crowd. Saturday is the big day.
You got it.
But
yeah.
Wizard Worlds are amazing all the time.
Cool.
I'm a big geek, so these are not work for me. So I enjoy them. You know, I'm a Comic-Con geek, big time.
Cool. A couple of questions. So I researched that you had three older brothers that were really good amateur wrestlers. And, you know, throughout the years, you know, there's always been that division between amateur wrestlers and professional wrestlers.
Yeah.
Did your brothers give you a bunch of flack when you decided you wanted to become a professional wrestler? Did they have that mindset or did they not have that mindset?
They didn't really, you know, they're kind of an age gap with my
okay.
brothers. And I was always the, you know, since I was the baby girl, I was always the tomboy.
Okay.
You know, I motocrossed, you know, I was big time tomboy. So it wasn't shocking that I went to this field. When my oldest brother, he was the Olympic gold medalist at the Pan Am Olympics.
Okay.
So my brothers were legit wrestlers. When they came to watch wrestling, he goes, "Oh, I like that suplex." And I go, "What's that?" He goes, "That's what we just did." I go, "Oh, a suplex." He goes, "It's actually called a suplex." That's the
nice.
only time we've ever like hit heads. I go, oh, okay. But I didn't know, he never belittled. He's very proud. Like my brothers, when I walk in a room, this is my baby sister. She was, and they don't even know how to say it. She was world champion pro wrestler. That, you know, they don't even know the titles or anything like that. They're just like, you know, which is embarrassing. They should be my agents. But there's never like any, you know, why'd you do this? Why'd you do that? They knew
sure.
it was a glorified amateur wrestling style match, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We were bad actors that do our own stunts.
Yeah. So you trained in UPW in the early, like, 2000, 2001, and there was a ton of talent that came through the doors.
Yeah.
What was it like to be at UPW at that time?
Okay, I was there very short.
Okay.
So I was there with Samoa Joe, John Cena, John Hyde, not Hyde Mike. Remember the guy that was a Army member?
Mr. John Hannigan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not Heinrich, I think.
Heinrich.
Kazarian, Christopher Daniels, Jerry Lynn. There were all these huge names, which I walked in not knowing who anybody was. I'll be honest with you, because I was coming into a field I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember I was attending there when, and of course, the Godfather Ho came up, and I took the opportunity to get my foot in the door. And I went to that school because WWL contacted me and said, we want to meet you. And I said, well, what do you see me doing? You see wrestle. So I Googled pro wrestling school. And that's how UPW came up, the closest one to me.
Okay.
And then when I was training there, Jerry Lawler came up to me and says, you need to go to Memphis and go to MCW. It's a little bit more old school style. I went to that school. It was all big names, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. There were so many people that made it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And then that school closed down. And we were I was there for a year. And then they moved to OVW. And that school... No one could touch that school.
Sure. That was during the Jim Cornette era and Danny Davis era.
Dave Bautista, my gosh, Shelton Benjamin, John Cena, Randy Orton, Brock Lesnar. I don't think I'm missing names, forgive me, but everybody in that school.
It was a stacked school as well.
Then I got to compare the talents when I got to OVW, and I was like, whoa. I'm in a whole different ballgame. I mean, these are professionals, and I was so intimidated. But I learned from the best, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and mostly guys. So to learn under Jim Cornette's wing and Danny Davis's wing, Nick Dinsmore trained me, and Rob Conway were instrumental in my career. So I learned from the best, man.
Yeah.
And they took their time with me. They were not impatient.
Mm-hmm.
They would show up early, and... It was 7 day a week job, you know. It's not a 9 to 5. It was from morning till night. You know, we trained every day, busted our butt.
Did you ever, in those early days, or even through your career with the major companies, did you ever run into any type of gender discrimination or anything? Or by the time that you got to those particular levels, was that becoming a thing of the past?
Well, we didn't like the TNA kind of match.
Sure.
Not to say TNA, but wrestling show.
Yeah, sure. The bra and panties matches and that stuff.
We didn't like the lingerie. We didn't like the bathing suit. We knew sex appeal was part of the show. We weren't big fans of it. We hated it.
Sure.
We were already wearing half naked. Close to naked already in our wrestling gear. I mean, what else did you want? You know, but we went with the flow. You know what I mean? You chose.
And thankfully, it's changed.
It's changed. Thank goodness. Yeah. And
yeah.
Also, too, you don't tell a writer to change the script. You know what I mean? It's like in a movie. Well, I don't want to die at the end. You do what you're told. You know what I mean? And you chose the business. You know, you signed a contract. You're going to do what you're told. You know, you might have boo-boo feelings, but it was never like, oh, you're a girl, go that way.
Okay.
No. We still had the respect from the guys.
Excellent.
You know, because we were getting high ratings in the WWE.
Nice.
So the guys wanted to actually help us out and try to be a part of it too.
Gotcha. Last quick question. Advice for anybody getting into the business right now, what would you say?
What'd you say?
Advice for anybody getting into the wrestling business, what would you give?
Okay. If I had a daughter, I don't think I would be so supportive in this industry. I'm not crapping on what I've done, I'll be honest. We're on the road 24/7. You don't get to see your kid. And you're throwing him in a man's world, kind of, so to speak. And I don't know, you know, I think I'd be that kind of parent. I don't have kids. Either too strict or way too cool. So either way, my kid would have been rebellious against me. So, it's a hard business. I mean, it's not an overnight business. When people are like, oh, I don't want to move here to learn how to wrestle, then you don't want to be a wrestler.
Right.
You know,
there's
people that lived out of their cars to go to the wrestling school. And so you sacrifice a lot. And it's not all glitz and glamour, you know, but you do get to see the world, which is awesome. You get to, to wrestle in, like, huge arenas is, like, so rewarding. But, you know, I just retired 3 weeks ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. But be prepared to see the chiropractor and the massage therapist a little bit more
often.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 48. Yeah. My body is, you know, 20 years doing it. I'm hurting.
Yeah.
I'm hurting. It's not, as Finley would say, this is not ballet. So if you want to get in a rough, you know, if you think you can walk the walk and talk the talk, you know, I'm not saying like UFC kind of style, but you have to be prepared for this.
Gotcha.
You know, but I love it. I would never change anything for this.
Any social medias or websites or anything you can let folks know?
Yeah, Twitter, Instagram is really Lisa Marie. My Facebook is Lisa Marie Barron / or Basque / I don't know. I have to look it up. And that's it. I think that's all. Is that all the social media? Snapchat, real Lisa Marie. So, yeah.
There you go.
I'm cool. More Instagram snob, though.
Okay. Yes. All right. So there you go. Just search for Lisa Marie.
Yes.
And there you go.
Yes, yes.
You'll find it.
All right.
Thank you very, very much. Appreciate
thank
it.
You. Thank you so much. All right.
It's very nice to meet you
yeah,
as
nice
well.
Nice to meet you, too.
Hello, everybody. It's Jason from Three Geeks and John from PBD. We are here with Sam Levine, somebody who I have become a huge fan of recently through the Schmodown.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, man. You're awesome.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I like you. Yeah.
I appreciate that very much. I sold my Schmodown photo finally.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. Are you going to go to any other live shows?
I will be at Spectacular in Los Angeles on December 7th.
I need to go to...
Yeah, you do.
I need to go to Los Angeles. I keep trying to get him into it because he's really into wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
Which is my question. You know, in 2017, you had that great film, WTF, World Thumb Wrestling Federation. Why do people not know more about this film?
You know, sometimes the good ones just slip by. This is your favorite film, and you can tell me all about it.
So I have a quick question. Since you started so young,
yeah.
Did you or your family have concerns about you maybe like falling into some of the pitfalls some other younger actors and actresses did, you know, throughout history?
My folks might have had those concerns had I not been such a total fucking loser. So they knew there was no real risk.
Okay.
And I apologize for cursing, but that's what I was. And still am. So they didn't worry about it because the reason so many other young people who are actors fall into that is they have bad home lives.
Okay.
Not all of them.
Yeah.
But oftentimes the parents want to be a part of the scene as much as the kids do. And that's not the job as a parent. Your job is to look out for your kid.
Right.
Not party next to them.
Right, right.
So... That's why, you know, I'm not going to name names or point fingers, but if your name rhymes with, you know, Shmina Lohan, that's probably a large part of the reason why her daughter fell into that trap was because she herself wanted to be partying as well. So I have very losery parents, and they raised a losery child. So it was just, I was just on set mostly. There wasn't a lot of going out at night.
Gotcha. So you're oftentimes a regular on Doug Loves Movies podcast. How is it to work with Doug Benson?
Doug is the best. I am not a pot smoker, but what I am not smoking, Doug more than makes up for in the universe on my behalf. And I'm grateful to him for that, because I like things to be even. But Doug's the greatest. It's been an honor for me the last 12 years now to be on his show as frequently as I get to.
That's cool. That's pretty cool.
So you've done comedy, action, drama, horror. What do you like to do the most?
I actually like drama the most. I love doing dramatic stuff. Action-y stuff is fun, but I don't think people ever take me seriously when I do action-y stuff, so... I like a good drama, a good heavy drama.
And I'm sure you get this question all the time. What was it like to work with Quentin Tarantino?
It was a dream come true as an actor. Quentin is the mad genius. He is everything that you hope for and would want as an actor in a director. You know, you're on set and everybody loves being there, and you know, you'll do 10 takes of a scene and he'll say, "That was great, that was perfect. But I want to do it one more time, and we're going to do it one more time, and why?" And then everyone on set in unison says, "Because we love making movies." And that's the level of intoxication for the love of filmmaking that Quentin inspires in everyone on the sets.
Do you have any upcoming projects?
I do. Speaking of heavy dramas, I have a movie I wrapped earlier this year. It's a heavy drama called Bonded, and it's about human trafficking, and I play the trafficker.
Oh.
It's real serious, and it's going to be in festivals probably beginning of next year, so hopefully it finds a home through one of these festivals and people can see it in their local theaters or on VOD.
To kind of spin off of that question real quick, when you did research about being a trafficker, like, is it disturbing for you? Like, when you know, the time has come and you're done rap with it.
Humans did you traffic?
Yeah, like, I mean, I imagine that it's got to weigh on you a little bit in terms psychologically of playing that such dark role.
It certainly, you know, raised my eyebrows in terms of just how frequently that's happening.
Okay.
Right here under our noses in the United States. Like, you think of human trafficking, it's, oh, it's some horrible country in, yeah, you know, Eastern, yeah, Europe or something like that. But it's not. It happens every day here in the United States, way more than we want to admit. And that was the thing that was most surprising to me, was the script that we were doing was loosely based on basically a story of a businessman who got busted in Orange County, California. He was paying, you know, coyotes to smuggle young kids, 12, 13-year-old kids, across the border from Mexico, telling their parents they were going to live better lives in America, but then the minute they get over the border, they lock them in a basement in a mansion in Orange County and force them at gunpoint to work in sweatshops.
Wow.
And these kids have no recourse. Who can they go to?
Yeah.
They can't,
yeah,
escape, and if they did, who could they tell? What would they say?
And who's going to believe them?
Right.
I mean, yeah.
You know, they know their best case scenario is they get deported back to Mexico. Their worst case scenario is the people they ran away from find them, and then that's a pretty grisly fate. So it really opened my eyes, and I sincerely hope that if people do get to see this movie, that it will spark a public conversation about what can we do better as a country, as a society, to stop horrible things like this from happening right here.
Gotcha, gotha.
Thank you so much for your time.
Do you have anything you'd like to plug? Any social media or website or anything?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
If you are a comic book fan, if you're a DC fan of any kind, you owe it to yourself to get a subscription to DC Universe. If you don't want a subscription, that's okay. You can still watch me and the wonderful group of nerds I chat with 5 days a week on DC Daily on the DC Universe streaming platform on iTunes, Android, Roku, Xbox, everywhere you can get streaming, get DC Universe. It is so worth it. There's so much great stuff.
Awesome. Cool.
Thank you
very much, Sam. It's a pleasure,
guys.
Man.
What is up, guys? Max here, Three Geeks Podcast. We are interviewing the beautiful Claudia Wells from Back to the Future. Here with John, and we're going to be throwing some questions at you. Claudia, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. Welcome to Columbus. So glad you could make it.
So happy to be here.
Is this your first time in Columbus?
Yes, it is.
Really?
And
okay.
I heard the food is amazing.
The food is amazing.
We do
I'm
have a bunch of good food.
I'm excited about that. I'm a very good eater.
I'm also pretty good at eating.
Are you a foodie?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm a foodie, and I can cook.
Okay.
And
favorite dish to cook?
I make terrific blackened salmon.
Okay.
I make a cold lentil stew that I eat almost every night, and it's got beets and peppers and lentils and Himalayan rock salt. I'm quite addicted to avocados.
Okay.
So if you take an avocado and you slice it in half, mm-hmm, you take out the pit and you do Himalayan rock salt and you grind it on there,
right,
and you get a spoon, you just eat it, and it's really good if you're in bed watching television at the same time.
All right.
It's a good time.
I'm going to grab me some Himalayan rock salt.
We have to get the Himalayan rock salt from Trader Joe's.
The
other one's cheap, and they're sticking real salt, not Himalayan.
Of course. Yeah. Anything to make a buck.
Yeah, of course.
That doesn't count as cooking, though, but it's very good.
I mean, that as cooking.
Yeah, you're adding something to something else.
It.
Right.
Yeah.
You put the salt on there, so
do
that's cooking.
That I have those in my hotel room. And I brought my own Himalayan rock salt.
How'd you get that past TSA?
I stopped at the grocery store on my way from the airport to the hotel.
That's...
I've got Roma tomatoes. I've got avocados. I've got apples. I've got Fuji apples.
So you like to keep it real fresh, huh?
I do.
All right. I can dig it. I'm more of a cheeseburgers and pizza kind of guy.
I love cheeseburgers and pizza. And I heard there's really good spicy pizza. I did a morning live TV show, Good Day Columbus.
Columbus? Okay.
Yes. And they were eating a very spicy pizza that I was hearing about. But we were...
Might have been the Hound Dogs?
I don't know.
Mikey's, probably.
Mikey's, yeah. Late Night Slice.
I wasn't given any.
What?
Mikey's right across the street.
What?
Tomorrow I'm going to get a
large, I'll bring one over.
Thank you. Yes, please.
But also, we do have the North Market right there. That's so much.
Second floor in the back, spicy want dumplings is what I heard about.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Jenny's ice cream.
Jenny's ice cream, hot chicken takeover if you're down for some fried chicken.
Nashville chicken, right?
Yeah, it's the Nashville style, hot chicken. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's it called?
Hot chicken takeover.
I have to go there.
Yeah, it's so good. I had it today for lunch.
I had the greatest Nashville chicken at the Nashville airport a few weeks ago.
At the airport?
It was amazing. It was the best chicken in the history of the world.
At the airport.
At the airport.
Hey, that's how they roll in Nashville, man.
I'm going to take a flight to Tennessee just to spend 10 minutes in the airport.
You got to look for the bar that has singers.
Okay.
And they take tips, and they're incredible, better than any singer anywhere. and it's like brown sugar, crusted, fried, spicy.
I'm down for this. Yeah, we're gonna take a flight to Tennessee.
Did you guys want to talk about other things besides food?
Sure. I mean,
we could.
This may be the best interview ever.
Yeah. Seriously.
Do you watch MasterChef?
Sometimes.
My wife and I watch it, and it's hard to watch if you're not eating.
Yeah, I would think so. My son and I actually, when I was in New York, we went to one of those restaurants that what's his name owns.
Gordon Ramsay, yes.
Yeah.
Couldn't get his name out.
It was very expensive, but we had a lovely time. My son was like 11.
Was he there yelling at people? Because that would only make...
No, but I was one of the diners at his show, Hell's Kitchen.
Really?
And he was... Yes. And our table was the very last table to be served. And I was very unimpressed. And I told them so. Oh. My peas are coagulating.
And that set him off, didn't it?
I told the cameraman that. Probably got some people yelled, but they were.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's a Master Chef control. Show. Like, like you gotta.
You got
your plate should be hot. Like,
right.
Like, I don't want to look at this, much less put it in my mouth.
I'll bet you $1 million I'll be the only interviewee ever that you ever interview that says coagulated peas.
I was just thinking that. That's the first time this has ever
I'm not
up.
Gonna take that bet.
Time for one question,
we have one time for one question. Okay,
good one.
Here we go. Why is Back to the Future such a classic film that everybody loves, no matter if they're, you know, a young kid now or they're older, you know, like our generation or whatnot? Why is it such a classic film?
It's a good for one question. Do you know what? I've had so many different answers over the years about the love story and this and that. I think God just kissed that movie. I really think it's anointed from heaven, because the love base of Back to the Future fans is so worldwide and so consistent and generationally it continues to grow. And yes, they wrote a perfect script, and yes, all the actors are genius, and yes, it was, the music is amazing, but I think God anointed that film because the fandom and the kindness and the love and the cohesive family, worldwide enjoyability of that film is on a higher level than what's natural. That's what I think.
There you go.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you very, very much. We really appreciate it.
Claudia, this is my favorite interview.
Really?
I got to
say. Oh,
I just love you to death now. So.
Oh, thanks forever.
Yes, indeed. Can I get a hug?
Sure.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to interrupt all the fun from Wizard World Columbus for just one moment to remind you about today's sponsor, World's Greatest Comics. They're the one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs. They got single issues, graphic novels, toys, posters, back issues, and even collectibles. And they have a brand new location. That's right, a bigger and better store. You can visit the store at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you could check them out online at wgcomics.com. And they're even on Facebook. Just search WG Comics on Facebook and you'll find them. And let them know that you heard about World's Greatest Comics from yours truly, John Orlando, and the PVD cast.
All right, folks, we're going to talk to one of our table mates here, Steve from Myths and Mystics. Steve, how you doing, man?
Excellent. It's been a good weekend. Met a lot of people out here, did a lot of commissions, and just happy to be getting to the point where we can take some time to rest, relax, and recuperate.
There you go. So tell the listeners at home a little bit about what you provide here with Myths and Mystics.
Yeah, so we are an actual play 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons podcast. We do weekly releases on Wednesday on iTunes and Google Play. And a lot of dark humor. We like to have fun. You know, I think that's what D&D is all about. But then for me, you know, I've always been into art and drawing. So now I do the art for the game, but I also sell my own stuff here. So everything from the comic book stuff to dragons, you name it, and we'll come up with a price for it.
What was the most popular commission that you did this weekend?
Most popular commission? I did a lot of D&D characters. Like, people wanted their stuff to get drawn and that sort of thing. There's a group of guys that came through that I drew their whole party for them. And then also some of the dragons I've got here were a pretty popular hit. So.
Cool. So you would say Wizard World Columbus was a success for you?
Oh, absolutely. And just getting to meet folks like you and the other booths here, you know, is what makes it all part of the experience. So
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, tell folks at home where they can find you on social media, website, all that jazz.
Yeah, everything's at Myths and Mystics, mythsandmystics.com, you name it. We're on there. So thank you.
Cool, man. Thanks. All right, folks, I am here with another table mate. Keith is from Twisted Wire Art. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
Doing good? How was the weekend for you here at Wizard World Columbus?
It's been pretty good.
Really? Yeah, you sell a bunch of stuff down there?
Well, it picked up the last couple of hours. Okay. People came and said they wanted some items, and I'm like, all right, we're good.
Yeah. Well, let's tell the listeners at home what you do, because Twisted Wire is a really cool artistic concept. Tell the folks what you do.
Okay, basically, I am a wire artist. So what I do is I take 22-gauge copper wire, and I will spool it out and make characters out of it. And the characters can be any type of fan art, Marvel, DC, Star Wars, video game characters. It doesn't matter what it is. If I can see it, I can make it.
So do you take requests from folks? Could somebody say, hey, I want, LeBron James, for an example?
When I say I can make anything, you ask me to make something, I can make it for you.
I like that confidence, man. I like that confidence. So what's probably the best seller of your artwork that you've done in the many, many years? How many years you've been doing it, by the way, real quick?
I've been making wire art my entire life, so about 35 years.
Okay.
I've been doing cons for about 11 years.
Okay.
And in that time, it goes year to year. So let's say this year, Venom's the top seller.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm surprised by that. I thought maybe you would have said something like Avengers or something along those lines. Venom, though, is the hot seller this year.
Venom is the top seller, followed by Thanos and Spider-Man. So those are the characters that everybody wants. Venom, Spider-Man, and Thanos.
Okay.
It's crazy.
Okay. There you go. Well, why don't you let the listeners know where they can find you online, social media, websites, and whatnot, in case they want to order some of your stuff.
Okay. Well, you can find me on Instagram, Twisted Wire Art 21.
Okay.
You can find me on Facebook, Twisted Wire 21. You can find me on my website, www.twistedwire.us.
Okay.
And Twitter, at Twisted Wire. Or you can find me at your local comic book convention. Look around for the guy that looks like a football player, Twisted Wire.
Yeah, because you are a local guy, correct?
Yes. I live in Centerville, Ohio. Okay. But I try to do cons that are within 300 miles of my home.
There you go. So keep an eye out for him. And Kivas, thanks, man, for stopping by. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right, folks. So Teresa stopped by the table. Teresa, how are you this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. You stopped by and you decided you were going to pick up a copy of the graphic novel Inferno City Firehouse. So what made you decide to pick this up?
Well, I stood here and was talking to the writer, and it seemed very interesting, and it's based on real people. And I just thought it seemed like something I'd like to read.
And I think you also stated, too, that, you know, maybe a little bit of social commentary that, you know, the days of folks striving to be a firefighter or a police officer, a teacher, or any of those type of professions is maybe long gone as well?
Absolutely. We really need to get back to who the true heroes are and firefighters are.
All right.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Very well put, Teresa. We appreciate it. Well, we hope you enjoy the book. And if you happen to stop on back and you've read it, let us know what you think of it.
I will do that. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, Cody stopped by the table. Cody, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
So, are you enjoying Wizard World?
Yeah. This is the second day here in the second year that I've been to Wizard World. Yeah.
All right. So, cool. Well, you stopped by the table, and you picked up Inferno City Firehouse, the graphic novel. You also got a print as well. So what attracted you to Inferno City Firehouse?
I got to be honest with you guys. Just the passion that the creator has for the product, I was sold. I knew I was going to get something at the booth. I'm really big into just the comic book medium right now. I'm here for this. I got buddies here that are here for the autographs and all that stuff. That's not me. I'm all about the art. I'm all about the independent, you know, people that are in here in the muck trying to get some exposure. So, yeah. I really like just like the positive good vibes you guys got going.
Gotcha. Was it also because maybe it was a little more true life, if you will, or
yeah,
was that not a consideration?
No, yeah, definitely. And then, to be honest with you, as soon as he opened up Firehouse and it was black and white, I just love that creative decision, more of a gritty, real look to it. So that definitely, and he's correct. Like, there's nothing like that in the field at all. I have no exposure to anything really with firefighters, but I love the fact that he drew from experiences from true stories. So that's got me interested.
Cool. Well, Cody, we hope you enjoy the book. Thank you very much, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Nakia had stopped by the table here. How are you this morning?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. You picked up a copy of Inferno City Firehouse. So if I may ask, why did you decide to purchase a book?
My dad was a fire chief for years, and I grew up at the fire department.
And you kind of hinted that you can totally relate to some of the stories that are in this book because of that, you know, your dad being involved in the fire department and whatnot. So when you read it, you'll definitely give us a quick little summary, won't you? Contact Brian, let you know what you think about it?
Yes, I will.
All right, certainly. We appreciate you stopping by. Any highlights that you're looking forward to here at Wizard World?
We're just excited to be here. He wanted to show off his costume.
And that is a pretty sweet costume nonetheless. So, Jackie, would you like to say a few words? Or?
Yeah, well, I wanted to mention her reason is also relevant why she bought the book. It happened to be both of them. Your father was...
was a fireman as well. So, again, probably there's going to be a lot of relatable stuff and a lot of relatable topics in the book.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. All right. Well, ladies, thank you very much for stopping by. We really do appreciate it. Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Brandon stopped by the table. Brandon, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm doing well. How's Wizard World treating you?
I love it. It's my second year.
Second year. Okay. All right. Good, good. Are you local? Are you a Columbus native?
Yep. Columbus, Ohio.
There you go. All right. Well, you stopped by the table and you picked up Inferno City Firehouse from Brian. I guess the big question is, why did you decide to pick up that book?
Because I think firefighters, and it's about firefighters, and they're them and policemen are the real heroes of this USA, and they do a good job, and they deserve more for them. So.
Yeah, okay. Gotcha. Well, what are you looking forward to real quickly down here at Wizard World? Have you met any celebrities? Have you got any more shopping done or anything?
We just arrived here like 10 minutes ago, so
okay.
Yeah.
All right, so you got a lot on tap today. All right, well, Brandon, when you read the book, definitely let Brian know what you think about it, all right?
Definitely, I will. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks for coming by.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Mel has stopped by the table. Mel, how are you doing today?
Good.
Are you enjoying Wizard World Columbus?
Absolutely.
Is this your first time here, or are you a veteran, so to speak?
Well, I've been to several cons. This is the first Wizard Con that I've been to, though.
Okay, gotcha. Well, you stopped by the table and you picked up Inferno City Firehouse. And why'd you decide to pick up the book?
Well, I've always had government jobs. I'm actually a county prosecutor, and I work with a lot of firefighters and police officers, so I know the type of tough job that they do. I've got an oldest son right now who really is considering trying to become a firefighter. So when I saw the artwork, I was captured by it. The Inferno City Firehouse, it's just a great poster.
Gotcha. And now you said you had a son that's considering. Is that who Brian personalized the book to him? Is that who it is?
That would be Ethan, right. Okay. He's actually over waiting for the Super Smash tournament to start.
Okay. Well, Mel, thank you very much for stopping by. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're going to have to let us know what you and what Ethan think about the book, okay?
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks again, man. Okay, folks, we have a volunteer fireman, Jason, who stopped by the table here. Jason, how are you?
Good. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Now, you've shared with us your 12 years in being a fireman, correct?
Yes.
So, obviously, it was a no-brainer you picked up Inferno City Firehouse. What are you looking forward to when you start reading the book?
just real life stories from Detroit and just see it on paper. And
maybe doing a little compare contrast a little bit to some of your own experiences, maybe?
Absolutely.
So where, if you don't mind, where are you a firefighter at?
Indian Lake, Ohio.
Okay, and you were telling us that you have probably one of the best volunteer fire department there because you have one of the few ladder trucks that a volunteer department has, correct?
Correct.
And that's not common, is it?
No, it's not.
Okay, because of expense and upkeep and whatnot for that?
Exactly.
Gotcha. Well, are you enjoying your time here at Wizard World, by the way? I failed to even ask that.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, Jason, definitely check out the book. Let Brian know what you think about it. We appreciate you stopping by, man.
All right, will do.
All right, thanks, man. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have somebody who stopped by the table by the name of Spencer. And Spencer, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really good.
And how's Wizard World Columbus treating you?
I'm liking it a lot. It's real fun.
Now, for avid listeners of the PVD cast, this is the second time Spencer has appeared on this podcast in about a month, maybe 6 weeks, because you were in the episode that highlighted Remake Revolution from the Wizard World in Pittsburgh.
Yes, that's correct.
In which you and Max defeated myself and Caleb.
That is correct.
How's that feel? Does that victory still feel good for you?
It feels real good, and it's also nice, too, because me and Caleb stopped by the Three Geeks little booth, and we had another head-to-head, just me and him, on Ninja Turtles, and I won that one as well. So.
Oh, you are unstoppable right now. You are unstoppable. Well, I'm going to ask you, why did you pick up what you picked? You got all the issues of Staunch Ambition and Inferno City Firehouse. So if I may ask, why'd you buy those books from Brian?
Well, anytime I'm at a convention, and whenever somebody actually has actual books that they're selling, I always like to at least give it a look to see, because you don't get that enough at shows nowadays. And then once I started to check it out and saw the quality of the work and everything like that, it seemed like it's something that I should give a try and want to see how it would go.
Now, you have a website in which you review certain books, right? You want to tell the folks at home what that website is and where they can find you?
It's drunkenpenwriting.com. We do reviews, different write-ups. We write stories ourselves, too. So if anybody ever wants to check that stuff out and tell us how terrible we are at it, it's more than welcome.
So you'll give these books a review, hopefully, here soon?
Yeah, that's the plan. I want to get these books, and there's a couple other people that I saw at this show that I want to pick up and give a review, and to try to, if I can help somebody else, pick up a good book, I want to try to do that.
Excellent, Spencer. Thanks again, man, for stopping by the table, and thanks for being on the PVD cast again.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, man. All right, Brian. It's the final day of Wizard World. We're done here. It's been a long weekend. It's been one that's been fun. What are your thoughts on the weekend?
It was a success. Yeah, man, it was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun Friday and Saturday, especially. A little slow on Sunday, but I guess that's expected. You know, it's a little mellower, but man, Saturday was rocking. It was a great time.
Yeah, it certainly was a success here at Wizard World. Met some cool new people, got some interviews done. In fact, Jason from the Three Geeks podcast is sitting to the left of us here. Are you alive, Jason? You look like you're... Well, Jason, I don't know if anybody heard that because of the announcement that rudely interrupted you, but you were saying you're not a young man anymore.
I'm not a young man anymore. We used to come to the first time we came was me, Max, and my buddy Amit, and we went out drinking. We got sloshed. We played giant Jenga at one of the bars. It was one of the Wizard World things. And then we woke up, bounced back the next day. We were fine. And then we tried to repeat that the following year and then the following year. And no.
Well, I wouldn't know anything about that.
What do you mean?
Because I get to bed at like 10 o'clock. And I have, like, a little bit of, like, what, tea, some herbs.
There's no halo over your head. You know that, right?
Yeah, I might have stayed up a little late last night and had a few drinks, but it was great, man. We went to, where did we go last night after?
The place was called Old North Arcade.
Yeah, man. All the, like, classic arcades, interesting food. I forget what I ordered the name, but it was, like, some kind of chicken, macaroni and cheese, everything. They just... It, like, stuff just falls on your plate, and then you eat it.
Yeah, so it was a good time this year, at Wizard World Columbus, and, we'll just get primed and ready to go next year, right, guys?
Yeah.
There we go. What?
More peanut butter whiskey.
That was a gift from our friend Thomas. Give us some of that good, good peanut butter whiskey. People listening at home are like, what do you guys do? Just drink all weekend long? All right, well, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My experience at Wizard World Columbus this year. I would like to just throw it out there real quick that the last few moments here of the episode, you heard Brian, Jason, and I lamenting about not being young anymore and how convention life is sometimes a grind. We don't drink all weekend long. It made it sound like we're a bunch of lushes, but but we do have a great time whenever we're at a convention, and I'm very looking forward to Wizard World Columbus 2020. And so with that, I think it's time for me to let you know where you can get in touch with me if you'd like to communicate with yours truly. You can shoot me an email. That email address is johnorlando@pbdcast.com. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook page, and that, of course, is facebook.com/pbdcast. Or you can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter account is, of course, @pbdmvp. Let me let you know about all the great podcast platforms that's carrying the PVDcast. Just in case you want to tell a few folks about it, PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly, is probably the number one platform for this podcast, but it's also available on iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, Spotify, Deezer, iHeartRadio app, Echo Network, Pod Paradise, SoundCloud, Radio.com app. Basically, wherever you can get podcasts, it's available to you. All you got to do is search for PVDcast. And sometimes you have to put my name after it, PVDcast John Orlando, and you're sure to find it. And before we wrap up real quick, I have one more sponsor to thank, and of course, that sponsor is Audible. You can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Audible has over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And for you, the listeners of the PVDcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the chance to check out their service. So to get your hands on a free audiobook, all you gotta do is go to the website audibletrial.com/PVDcast. So with that little bit of business out of the way, I want to say, don't forget, by the way, rate, review, subscribe. That helps me out no matter where you listen. I forgot to mention that when I was rattling off all those podcast platforms where the PVDcast is at. But with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous and stay independent.